What does financial freedom mean to you?
No debt, no bills.
That's it, no debt. No debt and no bills. I try and live very simply. And not run up debt deliberately. Just pay as you go, in a sense, and everything. Pay as you go, just. That's what I do.
Not worrying about money, not having debt.
Financial freedom means no debt.
It means complete and utter liberty.
You're very welcome to family.ie. This is our fifth and final programme in our series My Finances: Solid Ground or Sinking Sand. If you've heard any of our previous programmes so far, we hope you realise that no matter what your financial situation is, there is hope. I'm Ronan Johnston. In just a moment, we'll hear more from Dr. Philip O'Regan, Dean of Kemi Business School, University of Limerick. Later, we'll hear from retired banker and Director of Fundraising Ireland, David McCabe. Together, we'll discover how to come to grips with the past, get a realistic idea of the present, and some of the benefits of financial goal setting and planning for the future. We've covered loads of ground so far, and I'll remind you again later how you can listen and download the previous programmes for free at family.ie. Right now, though, let's begin our discussion with our team for this series, Joy Cantwell-Moore, Ger Shanahan and Stephen Cardy.
You know, the Bible tells us that the borrower is the slave of the lender. If we're indebted, then we have a debt to pay and we have a responsibility. But if we're handling that, and it's possible in Ireland to make great arrangements with organisations who will help you to get out of that debt. And I think that's one of the great things about Ireland, is that we may have a problem, but collectively we can get through this problem. If we can help one another to pull through, and a lot of grandparents are helping parents and children to pull through situations that they find themselves in now. But that is the reality. That's where we are. And we, working together, we can make a great future.
I'm intrigued again by the Irish psyche that we're coming across in all of these programmes. And obviously it contributes to the problem. And I think revisiting some of the ways we think, especially as the evidence, the one's evidence there, is where financial freedom translates into freedom from debt. But what do you do then once you're free of debt? I mean, obviously there has to be opportunity then. And we ought to lay hold of those opportunities. Having been disciplined and getting out of debt, we now have a tremendous skill acquired. So what are we going to do with it? What about the opportunity we might lay hold of in doing something creative, resourceful, new? And I think we're brilliant at that.
Defining financial freedom, I think that's a really interesting question. And I think growing up with very little, being on social welfare as a later in life, having plenty, and then back to not having so much. I mean, most of us have been through all those stages, or at least a couple of them. And I think, to me, financial freedom is having enough for what you really need, being able to pay your bills, and being able to, if there is a surplus, give it away. It's a constant balancing act and a learning process of what is wise about money. But I think what we've heard in these programs and what we will hear on this last program will give us a lot of wisdom about these things.
I know, Philip, if it's not written down, it can't be measured.
That's it. And it always gives you something to refer back to. And, yeah, you know, you shouldn't get neurotic about a budget. It doesn't have to work out to the pay. If you're improving things over time, then the budget is succeeding. Mm. That would be my advice to people.
Yeah. Let me explore another scenario with you, Philip. A couple who are in their mid-40s and they've now got elderly parents to consider, mm-hmm, that there might be some financial requirement on them, but probably not. But certainly they have children, yeah, who are expensive, and they have reduced income, perhaps, mm-hmm, even just one income. And they, mm-hmm, used to do two cars and maybe a holiday or, yeah, two. And they're facing difficult choices. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be to them in that situation where they're just put to the pin of their collar?
The first thing I would say, Stephen, is that it seems that the couple and family you have just described is the couple and family that is experiencing most difficulty in Ireland today. So it's not the young couple, yeah, although there are plenty of examples of young couples who are having financial difficulty. I'm not saying that's not the case. But it appears that one of the patterns of the Celtic Tiger years was that wealth transferred very unusually from people in their 30s to people in their 60s. It normally happens the other way around. Mm. And so you have this group of people in their 30s now and probably in their 40s who are facing very significant financial difficulties along the profile that you just explained. I think there the challenges are quite difficult, but the fact that they're quite difficult means that a budget is even more important.
Yes.
So they again need to adopt this mindset of planning, of prioritising expenditure, which is really what budgeting is about at the end of the day, and of making some difficult decisions. Again, I think if they have some surplus money, then it's better spent investing, either on a pension or in some investment fund, or simply invested. Incredibly, one of the best investments you can make now is to put money in the post office. Yes. It seems very, very simple, yes. But there you go. Yeah. I think if those couples have that kind of money and can invest it, well, there you go. But I think in most cases they won't. In most cases, it's often a case of trying to identify expenditure that they can reduce. That's not easy. You know, most people, there's plenty of people struggling now to cover basics, food, light and heat, energy. Mm. It's very difficult to say to those people, you need to cut expenditure. But nevertheless, I think it is something where just the discipline of identifying what you're spending can often show you areas where you can save sometimes quite significant amounts over time.
Apart from the, let's say, the curtailment of expenditure, mm-hmm. capital values have collapsed mm-hmm. in recent years. But say somebody bought their house 10 years ago, yeah. they're probably worth now what it was 10 years ago, yeah. or somewhere close to that.
Yeah.
Is there any benefit in them downsizing and maybe going to a smaller property if they can accommodate that and, you know, cut their expenditure? Or is that really a bit of a waste of money?
I think in some cases there are potential benefits, particularly if somebody has the potential to downsize considerably. There probably aren't huge advantages for somebody who's going to downsize but end up in a house that is not hugely different in value from the house that they have at the moment. Yeah. Now, the fact that, you know, the case you identified a minute ago, Stephen, where people have, you know, elderly parents where they need to care for them, or their kids who are just teenagers and approaching college years, they may need to generate that kind of level of capital by selling a house and downsizing considerably mm. to fund those. And if that's the case, then I think there probably are options now, which ironically there weren't yeah. 6 or 7 years ago
yeah.
when everything seemed to be inflating at such an incredible rate. Mm.
Because, I mean, obviously on the other side of the equation, the downsized smaller property is now an awful lot cheaper than it was.
Correct. So it's accessible to a lot of people where yeah, you know, they can buy, which they just couldn't buy before.
Yeah.
So it's an option, but maybe not a great option.
Mm, so I suppose that's one thing that's remained the same, both during the Celtic Tiger and now after. Just because there's an opportunity doesn't mean we have to take it. You're listening to Family.ie and My Finances, Solid Ground or Sinking Sand. We need to take a break now and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget, you'll find loads of helpful links, articles and audio archives at family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Now, maybe you're working hard and making a decent wage, but if you still find yourself struggling to either keep up or plan for the future, stick around for more on today's edition of family.ie. We probably all know the statistics on unemployment, property prices and national and personal debt, but obviously not everyone is affected in the same way. This is Family.ie and the final episode in our series, My Finances, Solid Ground or Sinking Sand. Hopefully by now you've worked out a spending plan or a budget. If so, that's great. But before the break, Philip O'Regan described the importance of revisiting your budget from time to time. Let's hear from David McCabe now about how to not only think week to week or month to month, but planning a bit further down the road. Here's Stephen.
Can I ask you about a different scenario, David? A couple who, let's say both of them are working and they're on the average earnings of 35,000. So they've, between them, they've 70,000 euros. So they're comfortable. And they have the opportunity to look to the future. They might both be in a secure job and they have the opportunity to plan for the future.
Yes, emphatically, yes. Finance is all about planning. I don't want to go back into what they should have done or might have done. If we're looking at a situation where they are now, just hope they feel blessed that they do have two relatively secure incomes and it's a matter of planning that expenditure. The big, big challenge which has happened in the last 5 years is their liabilities. Typically, if they bought a house within the last 10 years, are probably much greater than ever they thought they would be at this stage of their lives. And this is the real, real problem facing Ireland, that people, while they may be surviving, just so much of their income is gobbled up with loan repayments. You know, when I got married, And all through the 70s and 80s and 90s, my advice to couples getting married was, don't have repayments more than 25% of your net after-tax income. That's the rule of thumb. A quarter of your cash income max should go out in mortgage. Now, that's almost impossible, even with two people in the average industrial wage, unless they're, you know, grow their own vegetables and they keep hens and they cycle to work and so on and so on.
Well, it's possible that they don't own a property. I mean, there'll be couples who haven't bought in the last 10 years and, you know, are comfortable.
Well, then they need to really plan and I think move towards, well, how much can we actually start to give away?
Mm.
Because the biblical, well, maybe it's not biblical, maybe it's Charles Wesley or John Wesley, you know, earn as much as you can, which is often I used to say to guys in canteen conversations in all my career, earn as much as you can. And they'd all say, yeah, Dave, that's right. Let's all just earn as much as I can. Now, hold on, hear the second phrase. I said to give away as much as you can.
Mm.
And they'd all laugh at me about that.
Mm.
But that has been my modus operandi all my life.
Mm.
Earn as much as you can to give away as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And as Paul's teaching on this in his letter to the Corinthian church was, you know, take up a collection and give as insofar as you are prospering, according to your prosperity, which the Lord has blessed you with. That's your measure of how much to give. It's not for any one of us to say, well, this lady should give that and that lady should give that. We have a responsibility to give according to our own prosperity.
Well, what would you think about somebody who has the capacity to not just to put some money aside so they can give to a charitable cause that they believe in, but also they have the capacity to put something aside for the future, maybe in a pension scheme or savings or whatever. What should they do?
We should have rainy day monies set aside. And whether that's a credit union account or a deposit account, or if you're financially aware and sophisticated, moving into a small portfolio of stocks and shares, I'm totally comfortable with the idea.
Mm.
But yes, when kids come and they race through their childhood and then you're faced with secondary school. Is it going to be fee paying or is it going to be the local community school? At least you may have an option that you wouldn't otherwise have done. Or your parents are getting old and it's their 40th or 50th wedding anniversary. It'd be nice to give them a couple of thousand and say, now we've got you a nice cruise or something that they would like. And here's a nice treat for you. And the joy of giving in those situations is very hard to describe.
Mm.
It may seem like sacrifice over the years, but the joy that it gives to be a giver to people who wouldn't otherwise have had that benefit is very, very real.
The value of us pulling together as a family and being able to help one another out, if we haven't got the money, if we've spent it on lavish living, or we've lived beyond our means, or we haven't put anything aside, then when somebody who's dear and near and dear to us has a profound need and we don't have the capacity to help them with that need, that's a distressing situation for all of us.
I'd also add to any couples listening to this who are facing financial difficulty, talk about having a mentor, talk about having a written plan, talk about working on increasing the income and reducing the expenditure. The third one I'd say is involve your children to the extent that they are able to grasp and understand it. You don't want to be saying no, no, no to the children for little treats that they would think are the normal. Neither do you want to be saying yes, yes, yes when you yourself know you can't afford it. But if your children understand as best they can that this is a family affair and we're under financial pressure and we're all cutting back, and the children see it in the parents, and the parents see it in the children, I think that's a very, very valuable experience.
Yeah, and it's very valuable in terms of family building as well, because we are in this together, and we're all going to have to pull through this together. And, you know, therefore understanding rather than conflict is really valuable.
To the Tiger Economy generation, it is incredible for them to hear me say that I basically hold the view that we should not borrow for anything other than the family home.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been my principle for close to 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Never borrowed for anything. You just save up until you can buy it.
Mm.
The concept of just borrowing for home, borrowing for holidays, borrowing for clothes, borrowing for investment properties, to me, is just common sense. Throw out the window.
Mm.
You just do not borrow. I recognize that with the capitalist system the way it is, you have to borrow for the family home, but not for anything else.
That may indeed sound like an extremely foreign concept nowadays, and we realize that it's not reality for many people. But is it possible? We think you'll find some helpful tips both online and in some resources available in our online store. To find out more, you can head over to family.ie. We need to take our final time out today, but when we continue, we'll think about overcoming some of the challenges of the recession. So keep it tuned right here for more, and don't forget that we'd love to hear from you as well. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886, and email us with questions or comments anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, that's 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. Stay with us for more as we wrap up our series, My Finances, Solid Ground or Sinking Sand, on today's edition of Family.ie. Welcome to the final segment in our Family.ie series called My Finances, Solid Ground or Sinking Sand. We've certainly covered a wide range of topics, and yet there's still much more that can and should be said and done. But I suppose at the end of the day, we need to ask the obvious question. When you look at finances in Ireland, both nationally and personally, are we on solid ground or sinking sand? Back to the discussion now. Here's Stephen.
David, just to close on this conversation, you know, you've got a huge wealth of experience. What do you see happening over the next decade?
It's a truism to say that all recessions come to an end. But it is true. They may take longer. Japan's been in recession for 20 years. Well, not recession, but stagnation for 20 years. Property prices haven't moved. So yes, we will get out of it. That's the first thing of hope, I would say. Whether we will create enough jobs to support the recovery or how quickly the recovery will come is a very difficult question, because there are dark clouds all around us even still. And even when people do get into jobs, universal social charge and tax rates and the marginal rate of taxation add up well into the 50%. So, yeah, we will get out of the recession. It will be slow. And the big unknown question is how much damage has been done to ordinary people financially. Are people who are, like my children, in their 40s, basically going to be saddled with mortgages well into their 60s? I made the last payment on my mortgage at age 16. We had a party here in the back garden, and I ceremonially burnt the mortgage document in front of them all. We had a great laugh. Well, to be technically right, it was a copy of the mortgage document, but I burnt it out there in the back garden. I was now clear of debt for the first time in my life. So the speed of the recovery, it will come, but it may be patchy. The big difference this time round from previous recessions is previous recessions had government debt and government deficits, which had to be put right through cutting back on expenditure or increasing taxes. This time, it's personal debt as well.
Yes.
We never had the personal debt in my career that people have now.
Mm.
And so the personal debt plus the government debt is the big ball that we're trying to carry.
Yeah. I mean, David, you understand also Irish people, but will we actually recover emotionally and as a society?
Well, again, it depends on the time scale. In 20, 30, 40 years' time, and my children are my age, they'll be talking about the war stories of the noughties and the teens. And hopefully they will have been out of it, and all their ilk will be out of it. But it'll go down in folklore.
If we're realistic and we're sensible and we do the sort of things that David has mentioned in his closing remarks, manage our debt and not overextend ourselves and live sensibly, then we can get to the place where we burn the mortgage document, you know, we're debt free. But that doesn't deprive us of a life in the meantime. You know, we can be content with so much less because our incomes still are good if we're working. And we can build for the future. It will take us time and hopefully we'll have learned a valuable lesson. The future can be bright. It's up to us to make it so.
we do have new opportunities, you know, and we do have new always choices to make. And I think that's probably a rule of thumb that I maybe inherited from my own parents and their parents before them, that it's actually a very strange feeling to have a mortgage, to have any debt, because we were strictly no debt family. So I think, and it wasn't because we were wealthy, definitely not, but we just weren't allowed to. And we didn't allow ourselves to. And that's something I'd like to pass on, because I think it's good wisdom in that. The other thing is to involve your children. I've noticed quite a few contributors to this program saying about involving older children, obviously if it's age appropriate for them, to be involved, to be part of the family plan around finances, and to really feel like, I think it's a way of teaching them, instead of them saying, why can't we go, why can't we do this and that, and you're saying, because I said so. No, you're actually involving them in an important family decision, and they can feel kind of trusted in that. And maybe they can even contribute in some way. I don't only mean financially, but in terms of ideas about how the family can manage better. And then the last one, I think it was a quote from David when he said, earn as much as you can to give away what you can. I tried to say something like that earlier, but just I really believe in that. I think that will give us the greatest financial freedom.
In one sense, we could define prosperity without involving money at all. When we say prosperity is about the quality of our relationships, the way we nurture one another, both individually, both we care for ourselves, those in our families and our communities. The kind of decisions we make, are they good for ourselves? Are they good for others? That's prosperity. That's real prosperity, because in that there is a nurture and there is a life and there's hope. I'm aware of other societies, not in Ireland, where the idea of making a fortune and losing it several times over in your lifetime is a perfectly acceptable thing to do, because the idea of endeavor, go out there, do it, achieve it, make your money, lose it because you made wrong decisions, but get yourself up again and try again and do it and try again. We don't seem to have that in Ireland. We seem to be afraid to do so. And I think that's a great tragedy, because we have clearly the ability to do great things. We don't nurture each other's success in this country the way we should. And we need to. We need to. We desperately need to.
This is family.ie, and we hope that you found this 5-part series helpful. Time simply won't allow us to present all of the resources available, but we do hope you'll visit us at family.ie. There you'll find links to the various services and information mentioned on this series, along with the audio downloads of this series, free to listen to online or download for later. Simply click on the page for this radio program, My Finances, Solid Ground or Sinking Sand. And while you're online, you may be interested in other topics we've covered, including discovering the learning style of your child.
If you're already an involved and supportive parent, there are some other ways that you can increase your child's learning potential. And we've always spoken about wanting children to reach their potential, not necessarily to be A grades all the time.
How to prepare for the big day and beyond with our 4-part series, Marriage by Design.
Ireland is in pain in regard to marriage and relationships. The challenge is, as the challenge always has been, will I be true to one person for the rest of my life, and are we going to build something together?
And freedom from bullying.
Parents can give out so much advice that actually is counterproductive, and it just makes the child feel more inadequate. The parent doesn't even know what the opposition is. Could be 5 big lads there, yes, ready to, you know, thump the daylights out of the child.
Again, those programs and more at family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. On behalf of our own Stephen Cardy and Ger Shanahan, we want to offer our sincere thanks to the contributors to this audio series: Joy Cantwell Moore, Michael Cullity, David McCabe, Cormac O'Kelly, Philip O'Regan, and Linda Wagner. And we really appreciate your partnership. Family.ie is a registered charity, and your financial support helps to continue to offer radio programmes like this free of charge to help strengthen marriages and families across Ireland. We simply can't do it without you. So if you'd like to find out how you can partner with us, visit us online at www.family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh go léir. Thanks for listening to family.ie, helping families thrive.